This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
You know, I've got an idea. I can help people find what they need, Regina.
And what do I need?
You don't even know? That's so sad. Regina, love. You need love.
You're going to help me find another soulmate.
It is possible to find love again. I've never seen pixie dust fail. It will find you your perfect match. If you let it, it will find your happy ending.
My happy ending looks like Snow's head on a plate.
No. Aren't you at least curious? What if I can do what I say?
Well, then I'd say that's real magic.
Well, I'm a fairy. You might want to try believing in me.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is our second chance to do this episode, and we're taking it. We'll also talk about the hit ABC series, Once Upon a Time. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. We are a little late this week with the episode.
There were computer problems.
Yes. There was a glitch in the Matrix. My hard drive, like my computer kept crashing. I would just open it. I would get it booted back up. Then it would crash again, back and forth.
But it's very disturbing.
Yeah, I know. A little worrisome, especially since I use this computer for work, too. But hey, I got it all defragged, and it seems to be working. It worked fine all day.
Yay!
So hopefully this won't be a lost episode. one thing we wanted to mention is that our first official, and you probably might have seen this in the feed, but our first official episode of Greetings from Wonderland, which is basically this show, but we're talking about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, was released this past Saturday with our guest Roberto Villegas,
yay!
Who has never seen any Once Upon a Time stuff before. So it's kind of interesting. If you want to hear me and Anne-Marie try and summarize the entire series in about 5 minutes.
It was crazy, and it ended up taking like 15.
Yeah, at least.
We kept trying. We're like, and that's all you need to know. And then, no,
except
it was not.
For this and that.
This,
and it's
this.
Complicated.
Basically.
If we didn't already have it, because we're naming all of the episodes Alice versus something, like this week was Alice versus Marshmallow Fluff, well, we totally would have named the episode It's Complicated.
Complicated.
But we do have a separate feed up in iTunes called Greetings from Wonderland. If you want to, we'd really appreciate it if you went over there and at least gave it a star rating. You don't even have to write a review. If you do, great.
That's cool.
But, you know, just give it the star rating you think it deserves. And, you know, that's
dangerous. It was a rough episode at points.
But, you know, that'll give us a chance to, you know, kind of get up there in the ratings. Although when you search for Once Upon a Time in the podcast thing right now, Greetings from Wonderland comes up above Greetings from Storybrooke, which is weird.
Awkward.
Although I'm not sure how the sorting goes with all that. But yeah, if you want to swing by iTunes, give a review to Greetings from Wonderland.
And if you haven't rated Greetings from Storybrooke, what is your problem? Go click the button.
Yeah, and you know if you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it on the show.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's not literally just the 5 stars. Then we'll just be like, this is 5-star.
We got another 5-star.
Yay!
Okay, well, I guess we should probably go ahead and get into this week's episode. So,
let's do it.
Anne-Marie, why don't you read the summary?
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. I am.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Pan tries to make Henry change all of his stances while everybody else tries to take second chances. Tinkerbell finds Regina's true love fair, but Regina runs off because Regina is scared. Neil calls in a favor to go find his son, and the savior we know is not the right one. A check-in on Prince Charming? He'll soon be buried in the episode after Quite a Common Fairy.
So, just right off the top, what'd you think of the episode?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it. I've been waiting for Tink, and she did not disappoint me.
Yeah, she was very she was very much like the Disney version of Tinkerbell. Like,
slightly darker.
Well, yeah.
Slightly darker.
Yeah, but I mean, just especially in the flashback and her physicality and stuff, she was definitely very much like the Disney. Although I don't remember Tinkerbell ever being Australian before.
Everybody's Australian on this show anymore.
Yeah,
Australian and British. That was horrible. I'm sorry.
But okay, the first thing I really wanted to talk about with this episode is this episode was built around second chances. Everyone was exploring or trying to get a right. second chance.
Right.
Bay was trying to get a second chance with Emma and Henry.
Henry. Oh, Henry.
Bay was trying to give Emma a hemorrhage. No, I don't know what it even means. No, but he was trying to get a second chance with Henry and Emma. Tinkerbell was trying to get a second chance at being a good fairy.
Second chance upon second chance upon second chance.
And Regina was also trying to get a second chance at true love in the flashback. Anyway.
She could have had it, gosh darn it. Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, she didn't. But I definitely – that seemed very much a thematic thing they were working with the entire episode was the concept of second chances.
Second chances and earning those second chances.
Or whether or not – yeah, if you deserve them or not. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything to speak to that?
No, I think – I mean that's really – it's more of a this is sort of what happened versus a this is what to mm-hmm. discuss. I do enjoy that Bay basically points out when Robin Hood – sorry, had a brief moment. I was like, who was it? Mm-hmm. Robin Hood's like, you know, there's no second chances. He's going to say it once and then that's it if it works or not. He's like, this is my second chance. I'm like, swoon.
Because I don't think we did any major points with Robin Hood here.
No, we really didn't, which is kind of funny.
What did you think about Robin Hood in this episode?
I liked him.
Yeah.
I really – like I don't feel the actor change was rough. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there won't be too much of the flashbacks
yeah,
to the
honestly,
parts
Yeah, honestly, I can't even remember the old guy.
He was in like two episodes yeah. and they weren't mm-hmm. – I mean he had focuses but it wasn't – you know, crazy.
I really thought the whole killing off Maid Marian thing was kind of a bold choice.
I also think that it's a bold choice that it was only 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Again, time goes differently in every world and realm, whatever we would like to call them.
Yeah.
So in the Enchanted Forest, time actually goes pretty slow,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of – same look has spawned something. So it's only been 4 years – but the 28 years, like if you go back last season in the beginning, mm-hmm. Mulan and Philip point out that they've been frozen for almost 28 years.
Well,
do you see like the time difference?
Yeah.
There shouldn't be that much of a discrepancy.
Maybe the 4 years wasn't a reference to the entire time that everyone had been gone. Maybe it was more of a reference just to when they kind of found the castle and started hanging out in that area.
No.
I could be missing because
the baby was born before the curse.
Oh yeah, because she was pregnant.
She was pregnant.
Yeah.
Hence, he owed him a favor. Well, he owed his father a favor, which I love, and I probably pointed this out somewhere because I now forget. But I love that he's cashing in on his dad's stuff.
Oh yeah. Well,
there it is. See it in my notes.
We'll go ahead.
We'll
and
get
talk
it.
About
we'll
it now.
Talk about it again.
Well, we can talk about it now. But okay. he mentioned last episode that he was going to be calling in that favor,
mm-hmm.
and actually, I thought that was kind of an extreme, kind of almost overstepping his bounds for Bay. Hey, yeah. can you risk your son's life?
Hi, give me the most adorable 4-year-old ever.
I'm this guy who broke into the place you've been living for several years.
But it's mine.
And yeah, let's try and risk your son's life. That'll be great, right?
He owed Rumpelstiltskin a favor, though. And you know what? You never know how that's going to come back. And this mm-hmm. is how it came back.
Yeah,
I'm sure Rumpelstiltskin won't be terribly.
When you make a deal with the Dark One,
blood magic.
It always costs you.
Blood magic.
In the end. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. If you want to go ahead.
I'm just curious, Regina and her whole Tinkerbell situation, if she actually feels bad at all about ruining Tinkerbell's life. Because she kind of does look like she feels bad about it with the whole, how the hell did you get like this? And she's like, I met you. I'm like, ooh. Throw that in your face. Yep. Like, because, you know, back in the flashback, she puts on airs that she doesn't feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously just her covering how scared she was to be happy.
Yeah.
She's always been scared to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, she wants Snow's head on a platter. Like, that's not going to give you happiness. It's just going to give you, like, mean.
Yeah, but so. I definitely think in the past it was a play on. But I'll go ahead and this is a point I had coming up. But I'll go ahead and address it here.
We're just gonna do a lot of jumping around tonight.
It's totally fine. But I thought it was. I definitely think Regina had thought about it a lot and cared about it a lot, because Regina's hurt a lot of people. And for Tinkerbell to stick out in her head...
It had to really affect her.
For one, yeah, it had to really affect her. And two, I think Regina's kind of coming around. I kind of actually thought it was funny in this episode that basically Regina used her evil manipulation skills to a good purpose, to turn Tink good.
Yeah.
She used evil to affect good, which is
well, it didn't
a lot
really
of...
turn Tink good. It kind of just saved Regina. The thing that turned Tink good really was the Charming family.
Well, I think it was the heart thing, because
the
whole reason Regina gave her the heart was to kind of bring her back over on the side of the angels and get her involved in trying to find Henry. The Charming family are the people who got her on the team.
Yeah, that's true.
But Regina saved her soul.
Basically.
Let's see. Was there? Oh, one thing I noticed when she pulled the heart out of her chest, when Regina pulled the heart out of her chest, it seemed just a bit more red than it was the last time we saw it.
I'm going to need a side-by-side on that one. I
thought about pulling up the side-by-side.
Shut it at it.
If anyone out there would like to pull out a side-by-side,
I'm going to wake up tomorrow to like 17 tweets of a side-by-side of the hearts. Y'all like to point out when we're wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah. There was a timeline question in the Wonderland episode. I won't get too deep into it because I know a lot of people aren't watching Wonderland.
I literally woke up to three emails and or tweets correcting it. Like, this was 7 a.m., people. You were waiting for this, weren't you?
We've gotten at least 10 communications. We'll discuss that more in our Wonderland
episode. I just wanted to say, like, we know you like to prove us wrong.
Okay, so according to Peter, magic is dying. What's up with that?
I'm really not sure.
Obviously, you literalists out there, yes, magic's dying. We get that. But
in what way? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
That almost implies there's a source to all of the magic that everyone's been using.
Well, there's a source to the fairy and pixie dust.
We'll
come to that. Well, I'm just saying, like, there's a source for that. Why wouldn't there be a source for magic?
For regular magic.
Not mind magic.
No, it's just like it would seem to imply that, there's some great big source, or maybe, like I've talked about in previous podcasts, my theory that there is a great big bad above Rumpel.
Well, there has to be
everybody that is trying to affect some sort of harm upon our heroes.
Right.
And so I'm just wondering if maybe magic is dying is part of that, and maybe that might be a pathway for Pan to become a good guy too, especially if that bad guy that entity, whatever is killing magic, is threatening, the people we like too, like Rumpel and Emma and Regina.
Well, we can't turn everybody good.
Well,
no, I don't want everybody to be good. Somebody's got to be the bad guy.
Something, and I didn't end up putting it in the main notes, but I'd like to point out here, everyone seems to – Pan has a really bad reputation.
Yeah, I want to know what he did. I want some backstory on Pan.
Yeah, because I mean, backstory. Yeah, he's smarmy, he's manipulative, but that's exactly how the original character was. Like,
right.
I haven't seen anything from Pan yet to kind of like go, whoa, this guy's a really bad guy.
Right.
So I'm kind of looking for that. Although I did call it after the season finale last year, I did say that Pan must want Henry because he was the combination of pure darkness and pure light or goodness,
right.
being, the spawn of Balefire and Emma.
Which makes him the savior.
Yeah, exactly. The new savior, which is interesting.
Multiple saviors.
Do you think he's really the savior, or do you think Pan's just trying to pit him and Emma against each other?
Yep. I totally think that's what it is. Because I just like they kept pointing out the longer he's with him, the harder it's going to be to get him to leave. He's a 12-year-old boy. Of course, this looks so much more fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, really, for the most part, though, Henry's been pretty on the up and up about it. He's just trying to get back to his family so far.
Right. But in all reality, he's never really been with his family.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's going to be... I do think the savior thing's a ploy to cause a battle. And
although an out of story reason why it might not be is just because we opened the season with Henry being born. So that kind of indicates that that has a bigger significance than just Henry being born.
I mean, it definitely
and we,
does.
We know we are getting an episode later this season.
Soon.
That involves Henry coming to Storybrooke, which we might give us a little more insight to.
Right.
Find out where he was before all
I
that.
I believe between episodes 6 and 8, like 6, 7, and 8 are going to be some really big episodes.
Yeah.
So like they're just really laying the legwork for it and giving us the little bit of backstory they're willing to give us until then.
Mm-hmm.
So,
When Bay's looking through the cabinet trying to find something to, hop worlds, he mentions a couple things that have we ever got a reference to the ruby slippers before?
Nope.
Yeah, he mentions the ruby slippers, and he mentions that magic mirrors can also provide a portal between worlds.
Well, see, that one doesn't surprise me because we've seen a magic mirror be a portal. How do you think Regina got
to Wonderland? Cora did. Rather.
Yeah, Cora, Regina, I don't know. They're evil.
But
ruby slippers are a portal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that stood out at me like a giant beacon.
Yeah, you know what else kind of stood out at me a little later in the episode? And I know that Mulan had used it, last season or something, but the fact that they mentioned poppies, too, that Tinkerbell was using poppies. Mm-hmm. That was like two – it was kind of like in the
too
name
blatant.
Of the brother from last year where there were a couple Oz references in that episode.
Right.
I think they're building to Oz.
They have to get to Oz. We need another realm because, we're not confused enough in the four that we have already.
I have a bit of a theory.
All right,
on,
then Sherry, you've got good theories.
Well, it's in the notes.
I didn't read ahead today. I'm sorry.
No, but I have a theory about another realm they might be traveling to. But I could definitely see Oz as a season
scrolling
four,
ahead to see what he says
as a season four thing. But I just thought it was interesting, and I wonder if we'll see any mention of rabbit holes.
I'm sure
we're mentioning Wonderland because they're the same universe people. It's going to happen.
There was crossover.
Yeah, but Minimal. I'm wondering when or if rabbit holes will come.
I think
play.
Maybe even just in the mention of portals and just trying to find portals and different types of portals, because at this point we've experienced so many of them and new ones just keep popping up in awkward locations.
Now, one thing that just kind of popped into my head is that this half season that they're very much blocking off as kind of its own story.
Mostly.
It will probably be ending right around the same time Wonderland does. Do you think we could get a crossover episode right at the end?
Totally.
That would be cool.
And I think it'll be on both seasons.
And,
or both series.
Like we did mention in the Wonderland podcast, Greetings from Wonderland.
Get it?
No, but what was I going to say?
That we are probably going to gain a character or two.
Yeah,
Wonderland.
That if nothing else, Wonderland is going to give us one or two characters
not necessarily
to come
regular,
into the main series.
But at least, and probably not, part of the main core, but I could see a series regular or two.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Nave.
But that should be interesting.
Okay. So also we learn a little bit about pixie dust in this episode, and is described as nuclear fairy dust by Charming.
Yes.
Which I found very interesting. Why in Storybrooke were we never told about pixie dust? We only learned about the mining of fairy dust.
Where does pixie dust come from? Are there pixies? Is pixie dust ground up pixies?
Are you just reading my notes now?
No, that was one I added.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, it's in my writing.
I have it on my handwriting.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's, in the flashback, we see Blue only talking about pixie dust and not fairy dust.
Mm-hmm.
So why was that not brought up in Storybrooke when obviously pixie dust is, supersonic magic fairy dust?
Mm-hmm.
Do you turn fairy dust into pixie dust? Is pixie dust like the seed too?
I'm calling it right now. Pixie dust is ground up pixies.
We're going to ignore him now and move on. No pixies.
Did the blue fairy strike you as a little off?
Yes.
like
she was not her regular self, whether it be the actress or the
I'm
character.
Not even saying critical of the acting or the writing or anything like that. It felt almost like she was a a different version of the character or something, or like kind of in a bit of a different world than the normal blue fairy is.
Right. And she was meaner than the regular blue fairy.
Yeah.
She was so, wings, bye bye. This was your, I don't believe in you. Breaking my heart.
So I'm wondering maybe if they're, you know, maybe Tinkerbell's part of a different sect of fairies or something. But they all have a blue fairy. You know, there's different sects of fairies, but they all have a blue and a green and an orange or whatever.
She did not like being called green, by the way. Oh my gosh. But okay, but they have portal powers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were in the Enchanted Forest. Otherwise, Tinkerbell would have never been able to save Regina and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then she got basically tossed to Neverland.
Well, we didn't see.
We don't know how exactly.
Yeah, we don't know how Tink gets from A to A to N.
But did I bring this up today? Yes. Sorry. And I'll wait.
Okay.
I'm trying to be in order a little bit.
But I would like to say that Neil's little kind of crisis of faith before they called the shadow really backs up the whole Captain Swan thing. I think he's kind of preparing himself that he's going to show up in Neverland, he's going to help save the day, and then him and Emma,
you can't Emma, say anything about the Charmed
are pretty family. Much done romantically. Like, I think he's kind of prepping himself for that, which you know, I am all about seeing Emma and Captain Hook hook up, as it were.
I'm scowling at him right now.
As I've mentioned the past couple of weeks, another really cute thing I thought was
Swan fire.
At the end, they were sitting around the fire, and Hook was using his hook to pop coconuts open so they could drink the milk.
That was ridiculous. That was completely ridiculous.
That was so romantic.
When are you the romantic?
Hey.
Never romantic.
A few weeks ago, I would have never expected I would be a shipper. I'm a total shipper now.
Yeah, what
Captain
happened?
Swan!
No.
Everyone should tweet at Anne-Marie and tell her that Captain Swan is the correct shipping.
Okay, let's just, you know, we're just going to bring this on. Let's have a competition.
Okay.
Before next week, you are either going to tweet at us Captain Swan or Swanfire. We're taking a poll.
Yeah, and just to keep it consolidated, do it at the @GFStorybrooke Twitter.
If it doesn't come to @GFStorybrooke, I'm not counting it.
You can also make a post on the Facebook, too.
All right, fine. We'll let you count on Facebook. How do you not have a Twitter? Come on, people. Where were we? Me. Oh, okay. Going to what I was delaying. Hook and Tink's backstory. I need this backstory, and I need it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had magic when she knew Hook. This is where my portal jumping, realm jumping confusion comes in.
Yeah.
Because he expected her to have some sort of magic. He didn't know she lost her wings.
Mm-hmm.
She obviously lost her wings a while ago.
Well, you know, he. I don't think he necessarily said he didn't know she lost her wings. I think he just expected her to have magic. I don't think wings ever came up, really, did they?
Not directly, but wings were a source of a source of magic.
Well, I don't think they were the source. They were just more representative of this is a magical being here.
Okay.
You know, how you know, your complexion gets really red when you're having, like, problems with your liver. It's just a sign of
the most ridiculous conversation suddenly. Okay, well, either way, he last had seen her with pixie
or
dust.
Yellow. Sorry. I know someone's going to correct me. I meant yellow.
You mean jaundice?
Yeah, jaundice.
We were irrelevant. I'm going to hold it to myself. Yeah, but, you know, like, obviously they had – Hook just left there, kind of. No, he didn't. He spent 28 years in a bubble with Korra. Oh, I don't know. I need a timeline.
We need an A to N for Tink to kind of tie everything together.
Yes, I need
But we are definitely getting some stuff with Hook, which we'll talk about in the news section a little bit, which is nice.
Oh, wait, we're not there yet. Sorry.
No, we're not.
Okay, go.
Actually, I already discussed that.
Okay, so I love the pretty little Emma and Snow connection that they actually have with Tink about how Emma's like, oh, this place looks, you know, so similar. I just can't place it. And Snow's like, I had one of these. And then she's like, oh, yeah, this is where I used to live. I'm like, just a place to sleep.
They all have the hobo connection.
They do have a hobo connection, but it was nice to see the mother-daughter have a connection because they've been struggling so hard. And it wasn't pushed. You know, it felt a little like Snow and Charming did back off.
Yeah.
Which was nice. It could be because Charming's dying.
And it was natural, too. It was something they just kind of discovered about each other.
Yeah. And how did Emma not know that Snow lived, like, in a tree? Like, does she not get the flashbacks with the rest of us?
No, she read the book. She had the book for a while. She should know.
But she didn't know.
What the heck? Emma.
There was a lot going on.
I guess.
It was a lot. She was breaking a curse.
Yeah, she found out her parents were fairy tale characters. Oh, yeah, I can understand, you know, not keeping up.
I mean, she basically found out she was a fairy tale character. Yeah. We just don't know what.
Well, she's Emma, the fairy tale
character. Emma, the fairy tale character.
Who didn't exist before season one. okay, so here's my theory.
Okay,
and this is mainly brought on by the fact that Mulan and Robin Hood are together in the Enchanted Forest.
Fresh-tastic.
We have the Storybrooke characters.
Storybrooke.
Over in Storybrooke. We have the rest of the characters over in Neverland. We know that there's something that's killing magic. If I was going to peg a land as being the source of all magic, I would peg the Enchanted Forest. My theory is that at the end of this half season, all of our characters, Storybrooke, Neverland, Enchanted Forest, are all going to meet up in the Enchanted Forest to take on whoever's killing magic.
Who is left to be killing the magic?
The Wicked Witch of the West. No, I don't know, actually.
No, but that'd be really good.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Wouldn't that be good?
No, actually,
it's the monkeys.
A witch seems almost too weak to be that.
I'm trying
to think who would be the big bad.
I have no idea, but
because I would say like a genie or something, but we've already seen
we've seen some genies now. Okay, pulling back to something that I have written on my hand from some discussions with my coworker last night.
Mm-hmm.
And this could lead to the big bad.
Okay.
In the first episode, when Aurora was trying to go into the dream world and stuff, she said she saw, you know, the most scary whatever person thing. She wasn't very specific, and that's why she had to get out of there. We don't know what that was. We don't know who that was.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where they were. Just throwing it out there. That could be the magic killer.
Yeah. You know what? It could definitely be something that just popped into my head with the Wonderland stuff going on.
Our heads are going to get so confused.
No, but it could be something like the Jabberwock or something like that. Because the Jabberwock was always just like this big, massive threat in that poem. Anyway, and I was actually rewatching a 80s TV miniseries of Alice in Wonderland, and the Jabberwock through the Looking Glass section is a major villain. Just randomly pops up, lightning crashes, she gets scared, but she hides, and then he disappears. It's fun. You should watch it. I can't remember the exact name of it, though, off the top of my head.
You'll have to find the link.
Yeah, I will. Definitely. But yeah, the only characters I can think of that would be powerful enough to be the big bad to kill magic would be a genie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the genies we've seen are pretty much benevolent.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, could be Ursula.
Oh, can't wait. I think we already know Ursula. I just want to know who it is.
It's
No, you don't know. Don't act like you know.
It was Gus Gus.
Okay, that's
you know,
a different
actually,
podcast.
We haven't mentioned Gus Gus. I don't think this season yet. So I'm glad we finally got a Gus Gus mention
because
that was a major thing last season. Was
we're bringing it back.
Mention Gus Gus every episode.
No, I was again. We're doing Wonderland crossovers. Sorry, the world's crossed.
Yeah, we're not going to give you any spoilers.
But there were things mentioned in Wonderland that made me go back and watch episodes of once that I haven't watched since they first aired.
Yeah.
And one involved Gus Gus. And this was not his untimely death. It was other people's pretty much untimely death. But it was really cool actually to go watch it with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, here, why don't we go ahead and get to our last point, which is very minor.
It's completely minor, but it really made me.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the once fandom who would care about this at all. But go ahead with your point.
I feel bad for Sleeping Warrior.
Sleeping Warrior. No one would care about that.
No. Ever. We don't have a ton of shippers. No. Okay. I don't know what happened to us over the summer, but apparently we've become shippers.
Total shippers. Tote shippers.
We're totes. So I liked this one. I liked them. I was actually way rooting for them after the whole Regina and Tink thing got blown out of the water. We were so pulling for that.
If you didn't catch it on Twitter and Facebook, a couple hours before the episode aired, I called it and I was like, because
that's because I watched the New York Comic Con.
Yeah, the New York Comic Con panel. We'll discuss a little bit too.
Still,
but basically, the creator said that there was probably going to be a same-sex pairing happening in
this episode.
And so I called it as Regina and Tank just because of the one scene we had
together. The little bit of setup that we had.
And all the promotional pictures had them like walking arm in arm and stuff. And I was like, that would make sense.
I mean, it would be cute.
I could definitely see Regina being, you know, bi or something.
Oh, totally.
But
it was a power thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a power. Honestly, it would have been a power thing.
Mm-hmm. But we actually got a ship that was very popular last season in Mulan and Aurora.
And I was against it last season.
Mm-hmm.
I think
not even against it. I think you just thought there was no way they'd ever do it.
Maybe that was it.
Because Aurora is Aurora.
Like, it's Sleeping Beauty and Prince Philip. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. Also, Bebe.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the thing is, I thought I'm a little critical of it just because I thought it was a little weak in the execution and gave them too much wiggle room.
It did give them. It also,
like, obviously to big fans like us or you guys out there, we knew what they were saying with that scene.
But there were other people, like, I talked about it with a couple of other people, and they said, you know, it almost came off like she was going to tell Philip, but she wanted to talk to Aurora first.
Yeah.
That's what it gave them the wiggle room to do in case they didn't want to make that commitment.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, with all the controversy over the summer with you know, the same-sex pairings and everything.
The attack at San Diego Comic-Con.
But if you're gonna make a move like that, make the darn move. I almost said a really bad word there.
Yeah. Not really bad. But yeah. Bad enough for this.
Yeah. But make the darn move. Don't.
Jump all in.
Yeah. Don't make it just enough to satisfy the fans, but not enough to.
I don't think it was enough to satisfy the fans, though.
Yeah,
I think it.
If we don't come back to that storyline,
in the next two episodes,
I'll be right out there with all you Sleeping Warrior shippers with my picket sign, because I keep trying to find ways to describe it, and I keep thinking of curse words.
So. I know, so do I. Apparently, we feel very strongly about
bad
this.
Juju. Bad juju.
Bad juju.
Okay. So I guess we should go ahead and rate the episode.
Let's rate this.
Out of 9 curse words. How many curse words would you give this episode? Positive curse words.
Positive curse words. 7.5 curse words.
7.5 curse words. Why?
Excellent episode. Mm-hmm. Still room to grow. Left a lot open. Didn't solve everything that I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. It didn't go the way I wanted it to for other things. No, but it was really strong. It felt – I know a lot of people were saying this was their favorite episode of the season. Guys, we're only 3 episodes in. Let's at least wait till we get to 5 to make that judgment call. But no, I thought it was really solid.
Excellent. I would give it an 8.75 curse words. So basically,
you're just leaving off like a K.
Well, or a T.
Or a T.
Basically, I really loved the episode. I thought it was really good. I thought Tank was really, really good. Really strong introduction for Tank. Got me intrigued with where they're going even more.
Everything.
I really loved all the Lost Boys stuff. It's the Peter Pan with out of the Family Hour that I've always wanted to see. You know, where Peter Pan is rambunctious and he's forever a boy and everything. But some of the stuff he does in the original stories, it's kind of downright evil.
Right.
When it comes in the real world, Peter Pan would in the modern real world, Peter Pan would be in an actual prison. You know, back in the day, he would be in a orphanage or a boys' home or something like that. I really, really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to next episode too, which we'll talk about in a minute, because it looks pretty dark, which is cool.
We like dark. I know that's shocking.
But yeah, overall, quite a common fairy was quite an extraordinary episode, I thought.
It was not so common.
So while we're taking a break right here before the news,
taking a pause,
we're going to take a moment.
Take a moment.
And we want to thank Audible
for
sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke. Now, Audible, for you, the listeners of Greetings from Storybrooke, they're offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. free, if you can believe it.
Free.
Basically what you do, you go to audibletrial.com/storybrooke. You go, you find an audiobook you want to download. You download it.
You download it?
You download it to your device, your iPhone, your Creative Zen player, your computer, your
tablet,
your Zoom, your Windows phone, Android phone.
Mental SD card.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much any device you could possibly think of. Map.
A physical map made with pen and paper.
Yes. But, you go and you listen to the book. Give it 30 days. See how you like it. And if you like it, you already signed up for the service and everything. You're good to go. Every month you're going to get a new book. And they have really nice things like where you can set up a wish list to where if you find a book but you don't have a credit, you can put it in your wish list. And when you get a credit, you'll automatically get the book downloaded to your device, which is fun.
That's awesome.
Now, every week we like to try and recommend a couple of books. Anne-Marie, why don't you go ahead and recommend one first?
This week I went for something a little more fun, a little more family friendly, a little more not recommended by Bill Meeks last week. but I looked back. This week, since we introduced Tinkerbell, I found Disney Fairy series. There's actually like this massive series. Mm-hmm. And the first episode is called The Trouble with Tink.
Nice.
And her cover art is her like sitting in the corner pouting, which is typical cartoon Tink. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool, especially seeing how she kind of sat in the corner and pouted a bit in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. For my recommendation, I recommended The Merry Adventures of Robin Hood by Howard Pyle. I'm going to recommend that you don't pay too much attention to the Maid Marian stuff because it doesn't seem like that's going to tie into once very much. But otherwise, you can enjoy
Maid Marian.
The Merry Adventures of Robin Hood. It starts with Robin Hood, Little John on a bridge, ends with King John getting crushed by the righteous Robin Hood.
He's a little too excited about that.
I love Robin Hood. Robin Hood's awesome.
Things I've learned about you tonight.
But we want to thank Audible.
Thank you, Audible.
Again, for sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke. And to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Again, that's audibletrial.com/storybrooke for your free audiobook. And thanks again, Audible.
Whoop, whoop.
Now, on to the news. News. Okay, first off the ratings here. I read off the big bunch of numbers, but I figured I'd start with a tweet from Adam Horowitz himself. He tweeted this out yesterday, and he said, "The final ratings for Sunday moved Once Upon a Time up to a 2.4. They were the number one non-sports broadcast of the night, and they tied with the baseball playoffs." Which
honestly is a big deal.
I guess.
He's anti-sports.
I'm very anti-sports.
I'm very pro-sports, and I find that fantastic.
I actually got into a slight discussion with our friend Rebecca over at Operation Cobra podcast.
Why? What did you do to her?
The first big news of a shoot for the Batman Superman movie was at a stadium where it was the Gotham team versus the Metropolis team.
Fantastic.
I stole the link and I tweeted out, "This is the first news about the Batman Superman movie that has me worried." And then we talked a little bit about it. I was like, yeah, I don't like sports.
But I don't know how we're friends.
But anyway, Once did good. Once they tied with the baseball playoffs. They got 7.4 million views in a it ended up being a 2.4 out of 6 in adults 18 to 49, which is the main demo.
And I don't have the tweet right in front of me, but they also got like the final tallies for the premiere. Mm-hmm. And I believe it went up like 40% when they added in like DVRs and stuff like that, which is amazing. Like they went up huge.
That's great that they're finally
taking that into account.
Cause it wasn't, I think it was last year they finally started doing it. And
it had to be towards the end because the premiere, wasn't that pretty much almost against Breaking Bad finale?
Yeah.
So obvious. It was an hour different, but I'm sure people were rewatching.
Well, there was Talking Bad right after, and it had all the cast and all the creators and everything. Like Talking Bad is usually pretty crap, but it had everyone on it.
but I'm sure a lot of people were like surrounding themselves in that and just DVRing once, and that proves it. That proves that there were people who wanted to watch it, But, you know, something that's ending versus something that's starting.
Yeah.
I would go for something that's ending.
Mm.
So.
Well, and I mean, Nielsen was way behind the ball or way behind the times getting that incorporated into their ratings numbers. Because, I mean, I know over in England they've been using the iPlayer numbers for 5, 6, 7 years. And, I mean, DVRs have been prevalent in most American households.
At least that.
For 10 or 11 years now, probably. Like 2000, 2001 yeah. is when I first started knowing people who had them.
Yeah.
So I finally
even giving
the
them 5 years to, you know, be mm-hmm. more common.
Yeah, and helping once while they're at it, which
Holla.
Is cool. Okay, next, in the links to all of this stuff is going to be in the show notes, by the way, greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. But there was a once panel at the New York Comic Con.
Which I mentioned briefly
weekend.
Earlier. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was it was held the day before mm-hmm. the episode aired.
Yeah, and it had Emma was there.
And then the creators.
Yeah, and then the creators were there.
At Amenity.
And it was actually pretty good. I kind of had it playing in the background while I was working today, but it was some good stuff. I just pulled a couple few points here.
Okay.
For one, Emma said – or what's her real name?
Jennifer Morrison?
Jennifer Morrison, that's it. Sorry, I blanked.
He writes, Swan will kiss.
Yes, Jennifer Morrison said that Emma will be kissing someone this
because,
season.
Because they asked her what her favorite
Captain
scene was.
Hook. Sorry, I had an itch in my throat.
Swan fire.
Captain Swan.
Swan fire. we should make a wager on that. But no, she said that the, you know, it's always a good day when you get to kiss somebody on set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, very heavily implying.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And, she also, the whole, same sex pairing and shipping question came up and she went into this really detailed,
it was very, really, classy,
diplomatic
and classy response. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar with, I know I mentioned earlier, like the attack at San Diego Comic-Con, they had, you know, somebody ask a question about why haven't you put, what is it? Swan Queen.
Yeah. And I think they subtly implied that they were being homophobic or something.
Yes, they really did. And, you know, and their response then, because I think they were taken very much by surprise, mm-hmm. was that. We just haven't found an appropriate spot.
Yeah.
And no, we're not setting that up. We're setting other things up. Mm-hmm. And they basically respect us. This is our – we're creating this. We're creating it for you, but we are creating mm-hmm. this.
Yeah, but what Jennifer said basically was that –
Keep
she,
watching.
well, keep watching, and that she really likes that people are so passionate about the show mm-hmm. that they see themselves in it, and they try
yes.
and, you know, project their own stuff onto it.
Right.
And, you know, that's how she knows as an actress that, you know, she's doing a good job and she's on a solid program because the fans are so passionate, which was very diplomatic and, you know, kind of got the point across. Yeah, we understand, but we're – You know,
we're working on it.
We're working on it. We're doing our own thing, but we respect your opinions, right. And we love that you love the show, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they also mentioned that there
spoilers.
Will be...
Spoilers.
Yes. Skip forward to about a minute, two
These
minutes.
These ones are more important than the other ones you just heard.
Yeah. But if you don't want to be too spoiled. But there is an episode coming up this season, they said, where we're going to pick up right after the ship goes through the
first
portal
5 minutes.
In Storybrooke and find out what happened while everyone was in Neverland running around, mm-hmm. how Belle was managing the town.
Belle for mayor! Yay!
All that kind of stuff. And they also mentioned that we're going to get a episode where we find out how Hook became a pirate.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Some background for Killian, which is cool because we haven't really...
We haven't got
any Killian-centric flashbacks yet, really.
Not since Crocodile, and that really wasn't him-centric.
No, that was Rumpel-centric.
But I'm just saying...
He just happened to be... He was the bad guy in that.
Yeah.
So.
And I really don't think of him as a bad guy anymore
mm-hmm.
at all.
Yeah.
He's, you know...
Okay, so I guess that's all the news. We should just go ahead and go to our promo here.
No, that's all
that happened in Onceland.
Nothing important really happened with Snow and Charming in real life. No, not at all. See, this is where I take back your...
What, did they break up?
No, they got engaged.
Yay! Yay! That'll be really awkward if one of them gets killed off and the other doesn't.
Especially since one might be dying.
Yeah, since Charming's on.
There's no way they're going to kill Charming.
See, I almost wonder that that whole Pan promise, you know, parents are going to be dead. I'm almost thinking, oh, these guys are getting engaged. Maybe we should just go ahead and get them off the show. Because, I mean, we let's both did theater back in the day. You know, having a dating couple.
It's awkward. We both did this. Mm-hmm. We both dated somebody, broke up, and still had to act with them.
Yeah, well, little bit of story time here.
We're gonna go there.
Just slight. One time I broke up with someone who was in a show with me, who was playing my wife in the show.
And you had
like 5 minutes before curtain on the last day of the show.
It was 5 minutes before curtain.
Yeah, you're on the heartless. Last day of the show.
Heartless.
Yeah, it was rough. It was. Oh, she pressed the issue.
Let's not get into this. Some of our listeners know the story.
To Jennifer Goodwin and Josh Dallas. We're sure you will be very happy and that you won't break up with each other before the season premiere. So
you're in season premiere. You mean finale?
Finale. That's what I meant.
There we go. Okay.
I just feel awkward now.
Yep. Promo.
Promo. Yes. Yeah. That promo looks really good. I really like the war paint that Rumple's sporting.
You can't win if you're not willing to die.
Oh, and Rumple is willing. Because we didn't see Rumple at all this episode besides the flashbacks.
And that actually made me very sad. I want to know what that man's doing.
Rose Swan.
Oh my gosh. Loved it. Loved it the second time I watched it. Loved it the third time I watched it.
Yeah, but it looks like Rumple's gone native almost.
Yeah, but you know what? That might be a little bit of his magic.
Mm-hmm. This is
it might be, you know, intimidation blood magic, because it looked like when he said that he was talking to Bay. Mm-hmm.
But it definitely looks like Snow might find out about Charming's little rib cage secret.
Yes, but the rib cage that they showed was not as infected as the one we saw this week.
This is true.
So
who knows? before we move on to listener feedback, I just want to point out I really liked how because one of my early notes was. Why don't they just have Regina try and fix Charming? And then a little bit later in the episode, when Tank puts the arrow up to Regina's neck, she's
your
like,
magic
and you know your magic doesn't work against us or whatever. So kind of covered that. Nice.
Well, that's because nothing can cover. How did they fix it in Storybrooke? Wasn't it fairy dust?
No. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
All right, but anyway. That's it for the news. So now we're going to move on to listener feedback and questions. If you'd like to contact – oh, sorry. I hit the mic there. I apologize, listeners. But if you want to write us, you can write us through email at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us on Twitter @GFStorybrooke. You can get a hold of us on our Facebook, facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. Or you can leave us a voicemail, which we love, 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 and we guarantee you will be on the show.
As long as it's not too long.
As long as it's not too long or so
vulgar.
Removed from the episode that we can't even play it. But our voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. We love voicemails, and we got one this week from Woo S. Kim,
yay!
Who is our Facebook buddy who always gives us great stories on the Facebook.
I love it.
So
thank
why don't you.
You
go ahead and take it away, Woo.
Hey, Bill AMD. It's Woo S. Kim at WSK9002 on Twitter. First of all, loved the episode. Thought it was better than last week's episode, which was surprising. Didn't expect to see what we saw in the episode. My favorite scene gotta be the last scene with Peter Pan and Emma, because I think this season will be about unresolved issues between parents and children. I don't think Emma has really forgiven Charming and Snow for abandoning her, and I don't think Peter Pan's wrong either. Would say that Harry's really not forgiven Emma for abandoning him, whether it's due to Peter Pan kind of seducing Henry to the dark side, hashtag Star Wars reference, or just Henry's own unexpressed issues with his mother's. I think that's where we're going to go for the rest of the season. And loved the Rumpel No Gold Skin from the last episode, guys.
Thank you very much, Wu. It was great to hear your voice, too.
I know. I'm like, get a pop-up. Wu S. Kim has posted a link. Wu S. Kim has posted a link. It's nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, but definitely I think family is going to be a major theme running. Well, I mean, it already has been.
It's always been
series,
a very major.
But right now we have basically several generations of one family all trapped on an island fighting Peter Pan.
I know. It's fantastic.
You can't beat that. You want to go ahead and read this one here from Allison?
Hey, guys. Before I saw anything else, Ginny and Josh are getting married.
No.
Oh, that was me. Okay. I'm okay now. Anyway, after recovering from my episode high, I just finished watching the third rewatch of the episode, You're Just Like Us. This was definitely one of the best episodes since the mid-season finale. Neil is back. Mulan made me cry so much in this episode. Also, is anyone else suspicious of Blue? It's a huge theory going on in the fandom. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. And is Felix like the welcoming committee? Did I not say that when we watched it? I was like, yeah. He's like the welcoming committee. He's always there when people appear. Great episode, guys. Keep the podcast up. Allison, P.S. Did anyone get that Tink and Hook have a past, maybe romantic? Jane Espenson tweeted that it could be.
I could definitely see that.
I could totally see that.
It's very lonely out there in Neverland. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say, I guess it's a huge theory going on right now in fandom that mm-hmm. the Blue Fairy is not on the up and up and is kind of behind everything. That is something I've been saying since...
Day one, pretty much.
Tallahassee, maybe.
Tallahassee!
It was one of the first three or four episodes last season. Mm-hmm. I was like, the Blue Fairy is up to no good.
Yeah.
So... if that comes to fruition, that was me, folks. That was me, folks.
That's right. The creators listen to our podcast.
They do. Hi, Jane. Hi, Adam. Glad you're back here listening. By the way, we still haven't got Leanne Berger's still not booked.
What
so.
Happened to Grumpy on Greetings?
Yeah,
Grumpy on Greetings. We are causing major Twitter wars today. We're like, we are. We like your vote.
Go to the Twitters.
To the Twitters.
Seriously, @ Lee Ehrenberg. Go on Greetings from Storybrooke, #
Grumpy on Greetings.
Do it this week. If you do it, you send it to
Trend
us.
Trend it.
I don't know. I'll write you a limerick. I like writing limericks anyway.
He does. He's good at them. They're hard to read, yeah. But they're good.
Just, you know, send us the tweet. Send us the tweet. I'll write you the limerick.
I think we'll see it by clicking Grumpy Greetings.
Okay. Next up, we have Elena. Elena, I always forget
she
how to pronounce
it. She sent us a voicemail.
I know, correcting me, and I can never remember it. I'm so sorry.
Just read the
A-L-E-A-N-A is how I'm going to say it from now on. Okay.
He's getting punched drunk. I'm sorry.
Okay, she says, I love this episode, the scenes with Regina and Tinkerbell. Love that Regina named the team Operation Henry, which makes me think that Henry had code names growing up. I also like seeing that Regina likes working in a group, even though she doesn't show it. I don't mind that Robin Hood is Regina's second love. I'm just happy she gets a second love, even though I want Regina and Hook to get together.
What? You're not
Captain
welcome
Swan.
Here.
Captain Swan.
Swanfire.
I'm blank about indicating angry, a curse word indicating angry, about Mulan and Aurora because I knew it was Mulan was in love with Aurora, and I hope that maybe Mulan will find her true love. Loving the bromance between Charming and Hook.
It's precious.
Father-in-law material there, right?
No.
I do have a theory that maybe Emma's magic might save her father, or if it's true that Henry is supposed to save magic, maybe he's the one to save his grandfather. I could totally buy that.
That's possible.
Looking forward to listening to your podcast. Thank you very much.
He has to save both of his grandfathers then.
Yes, that would be true. When? Maybe
he is not anybody's undoing.
No.
Apparently, oh. I've unearthed something. You should see his eyes. They just got as big as saucers.
I just boom. Okay, the boy will be your undoing. It didn't. The seer didn't say the boy will be the cause of your demise. The boy will be the Dark One's undoing.
Yeah, he won't be the Dark One anymore.
Yeah, he'll be
normal.
Just regular Rumpelstiltskin. He won't be the Dark One anymore.
You're just now getting that?
I am.
Okay, I've been thinking that for about, well, when did that episode air?
Well, don't I feel stupid now? Go ahead and read the next one. No, it just kind of like came to
it. It just
like,
claimed you. No,
It just clicked.
It just clicked, just like that. All right, this is from Elizabeth on our Facebook. I love your podcast. I love listening to your ideas and predictions. I personally keep wondering if once they find Henry, if Henry will not ever want to go home with Emma and Regina. Like the writers are planning... a Hook movie strategy. Wait, what? Like the writers
remember with the kids and Hook was Hook turned the kids against their father. And
yes.
All that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. It's late. But that's already been done. So why do it again? I hope I'm wrong. Also, I think that Neverland is going to test Henry's belief system. It would be heartbreaking if the character who we can trust is always to always believe in something starts to have a crack in his belief system. These are my thoughts. Love you guys. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, I definitely think what Tink said in this episode about, he might have already been there too long might play into it. That I think that was more
he
saying
hasn't
that,
been there that long, though.
But I think that was more saying that Pan is so charismatic that he was already good as done.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think there. Oh, what was the other thing? Something else I thought about from Elizabeth's message here on our Facebook is that she says that it would be heartbreaking if the character who we can trust to always believe in something starts to have a crack in his belief system. Maybe that's the point.
Everybody needs to have a crack.
I mean, Pan seems to be running several different games here. Maybe one of those games is to make the truest believer not the truest believer.
He'll always be the truest believer.
I mean, you know, we were talking about the big bad. Maybe at the end of the day, maybe Pan is the big bad and he wants to eliminate the person who could bring him down, a.k.a. Henry.
The boy's going to be everybody's undoing.
Yeah. Okay, and the last letter we have here is from our number one fan, Wynn, who will be on...
Be judgy. We have a lot of number one fans.
We do.
I'm just saying. You can't rank them.
I'm just saying in my heart, Wynn is the number one. Okay. No offense, any of our other number one fans.
You're all my number
But just
ones.
Personally in my heart.
Can't wait to talk to you this weekend.
But she sponsored me for my Bleeding Cool coverage of Dragon Con last year. So she gave me money.
She gave me birthday presents.
No, but Wynn is going to be on Greetings from Wonderland this Saturday, which we're so pumped about. We're finally going to get her on an episode. Catch up on Wonderland, if nothing else, just so you can listen to Wynn on the podcast.
Yay.
But Wynn writes in, I really enjoyed this episode. When there are several different plot threads going on with characters in different places, I find I pick a favorite and wish it was front and center when the others are on screen. Tonight, each scene was so interesting that I forgot about the others until the camera cut back to them. I thought the writers did a fabulous job of this time of weaving past and present here and there into a single story. I really felt sorry for Mulan, who seemed cursed to be the third wheel on couples night.
Aww.
She has great chemistry with Robin Hood, but will he fall for Regina? Oh, well, at least she has a bigger pool of men to swim in since she joined his bandit posse.
I don't want her to fall for Robin Hood because he's not going to fall for her because he's one of Regina's true loves.
Once he runs into Regina, it's pretty
man
much
down.
Done. But I don't know. I could see her. I mean, we don't know really Mulan's backstory is
we
much
have
like,
pretty much none.
We don't know if the movie's canon, you know, where she had a romantic relationship with a man before or not. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Well, she doesn't know what a movie is.
This is true.
So, nor that she kicks
and
butt.
For some reason, Neil couldn't explain it to her.
I don't know how I couldn't explain it.
But thank you very much for writing
in.
Again, if you guys want to write in, it's greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. And we love, love, love voicemail. Always feel free to dial up and give us a voicemail, especially right after the episode's aired, at 424-274-2352. Okay, now you guys have a couple of assignments this week. One is to go to iTunes and review Greetings from Wonderland, the Wonderland offshoot where it's basically this feed without the main episodes. And you also have to tweet Lee Ehrenberg, #...
Grumpy on Greetings.
Grumpy on Greetings, so we can get Lee Ehrenberg on here.
We want to talk to him.
We really, really do.
We kind of really like him.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
It's a thing.
A lot. We have
we talk
crush.
About it. A lot. Also, Swanfire.
Grump greetings.
Swanfire.
Grumpy greetings.
Okay, fine.
Grumpy on greetings.
Swanfire.
Captain Swan.
Yeah, there you go. It only took me saying it four times for you to join in.
I know. I was going, my new ship was Grumpy in this podcast.
I ship it. I totally ship it.
I ship Grumpy in this podcast every day.
Every day. Totally ship it. Anyway.
Okay, so if you want to find me, you can tweet me at Bill Meeks.
And I'm at AM D. Simone.
I would also like to plug my superhero audiobook that is coming out every week. There's actually two episodes this week.
Ooh.
And things are really starting to get interesting. It's called Dog Boy, Den of Thieves, and you can get more information about it.
Den of Thieves by Bill Meeks.
That's how every episode starts. But you can get the free audiobook podcast and more information about the book that's coming out in December at dogboyadventures.com. But I guess that's about it, right?
Yep, I like it.
I like it, too.
So,
I guess who closes this? Is it me?
This is
usually?
You. It's always you.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
Until next week.
Greetings from Storybrooke. That was so weird.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It had to happen once in a while.